Your Epic Mickey statue's missing an ear, and mine's missing a nose.
High quality product.
Yes.
Somewhat reflective of the game.
Ooh.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 6, 2011. Mike Minotti. AJ Minotti. We be here. What's the word? News. Let's go topical. Our week in gaming. Game releases. Yo, yo, yo. That's the show.
Until you did that dumb thing at the end there, I thought you were doing an Epic Mealtime spoof.
You know, I don't even like Epic Mealtime.
I know, which I don't know what's wrong with you. Your cool. Xbox is on. Anyway.
I was watching Star Trek on it last night on the Netflix.
It was cool. It has an off button.
Yeah, but like I use the Kinect voice stuff. Let's just do everything but turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just get tired. And I'm like, I don't want to open my eyes long enough to turn it off.
Funny, the TV's off.
That takes one button to turn off the thing. I have to hold down the guide button, navigate a menu.
Oh my God.
I'm too tired. You can turn off. You got a thumb.
Anyway. News. Okay, so they've announced a new limited edition Kinect sensor bundle. For the same price, you get your Kinect Adventures, but also a download code for Child of Eden.
We're leading off with this?
Yeah, it was chronologically first.
Oh, okay.
Not a terribly exciting week. But yeah, that's happening. It's a good game.
Well, make it exciting, Edge Guy. God damn it.
I'm going to tell you the greatest thing ever.
Let's hear it.
If you buy the hard edition of Modern Warfare 3, you get a free year of Elite.
Oh my God, this is the biggest news story of the year.
Otherwise, it's $50 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
How hard is it?
Pretty hard.
A hard edition.
Well, it's going to be, what, $99 for the hard edition. I think it was $80 in years past, so it went up $20.
Yeah, if anybody was going to buy the hard edition of a game, it'd be Call of Duty players. Oh, this edition's hard. Yeah, it's real hard.
Are you excited at all for this game?
What, Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah.
No. I mean, what Call of Duty games have been weird for a while for me, because they're games that I buy and I'll play them, but yeah, excitement does not exist. They merely are.
Right.
Like, they are there.
It's like eating your vegetables. You kind of have to do it.
Not always. But
some people like vegetables, and that's cool.
That's fine. Well, I feel like it's like this is. I think it's. I would compare it more to like crack. Some people like getting crack. Other people avoid it diligently.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's nice. I'm sure you'll be shooting a lot of people down the scope.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm sure that the multiplayer will have a lot of people playing it.
They did. Well, they had the whole Call of Duty XP event last week.
Right. Which is like. Weird, I guess. It's like a BlizzCon, but for just Call of Duty.
Right. Kanye put on a concert.
Right.
They showed like a lot of like the, especially the multiplayer of the game.
Right.
They're really tuning it for team deathmatch, since that's what most people play.
Sure. They got rid of Last Stand, I hear.
Yeah, everyone's happy about that.
I guess so. I didn't know that Call of Duty players hated Last Stand. It makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's see if that was enough yearly subscriptions for you. You can also pay $30 for a subscription pass to Gears of War 3.
How many subscriptions do you think like people will be getting for like just a game?
Well, this one will get you all the map packs, similar to Call of Duty Elite. I think if you were to buy the map pack separately, it'd be $50. So if you know you're going to do it, you may as well.
See, I'm glad I'm just always done with the multiplayer of a game before the first map pack hits. You know,
that's true.
I've always moved on.
You
from
move
that.
On,
right? Like, more maps. Oh.
Well, here, Mike, let's buck the trend a little.
Oh,
it is reported that by the end of the year, Star Trek Online will go free to play.
This pleases me.
Indeed.
I mean, it was coming.
Yeah.
Maybe, I thought maybe even sooner than it
Well,
has.
Cryptic was sold to Perfect World from Atari,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of the ones who really seem to be facilitating this.
I hope they do a kind of cool relaunch with it. We'll make some new characters.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun playing
yeah,
it,
Yeah,
it's
hard to pay $15 a month for these things
and
anymore.
It is, it really is.
It really is.
I mean, unless you're, wow.
Right. Well, it's like, if you're paying for HBO, are you really going to get Stars?
Right. I know. Yeah.
You know?
I think it'll be a smart decision.
Yeah.
I'm happy with it. Plus, it's Star Trek nerds. You can monetize them to death. With
oh, yeah.
Things. Tell them, yeah, you, like those fancy other uniforms. Though
sell the con emote for $10.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get some special ships in there. Yeah, they'll go yes. over that.
Let's see. In Australia, down under, L.A. Noire developer Team Bondi has been placed in what is called administration. It basically means they're done.
What a weird, tragic tale with them.
Yeah. In 6 years, they made one really good game, but apparently they fucked up so bad that they are...
I guess so. Thanks for the game. Thanks for developing that facial technology. We'll enjoy that for a while.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, where else that'll get used. Like, you think that'll be in, like, Grand Theft Auto 5?
I would assume so. If not Rockstar take advantage of it, who will?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I've been telling you, like, that's, like, the one thing that Eleanor kind of left an impression on me is that facial technology. It's, like, the one thing that I miss in other games.
Right, like, especially Deus Ex.
Yeah, I play Deus Ex. People are just kind of doing the, like, repeated animation. Their heads moving too much.
All right, I'm pissed. I am so pissed.
League of Legends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, now the,
it stopped today. You can't even play it anymore.
I know. But here, what's shitty. Okay, so recap. League of Legends developer Riot Games announced on Friday, actually, that they are discontinuing their Mac beta client. The reasons they cited made no sense. They're like, oh, we couldn't get patches out. I don't know. Every time you had a patch, I had a patch.
Yeah,
I don't know what the issue is. It worked perfectly. I got a rock solid 30 frames per second. I had no trouble at all.
I mean, just from your experience, which seemed to work fine, I don't understand why they're going out of their way to limit their user base.
Well, the forum thread for this had 40,000 views.
Jeez.
That's a lot of people. I don't think they... because. The way they handled this client, it was weird. Like, it wasn't like, you didn't have to, like, actually get accepted and have your account activated to play on Mac. You just had to get your hands on it. Even they, like, would periodically just post a link to it, let you download for a while, then they would just, like, delete the file from the server. You could get it.
Right.
There was nothing to keep you out of it. What's shitty is the way they're handling this. I mean, they're giving you some concessions. If you want, you could get a complete refund for all the Riot points you've purchased in the game.
Mm-hmm.
To be considered a Mac user, most of your logins had to come from the Mac client. The other thing you can do is they're going to send everybody a free code for the Champions Pack, which is like this, you could buy it in the store. It's like 8 champions you get.
When you say everybody, you mean...
The Mac users.
Yeah, well, that's cool for you. You're going to have 8 champions.
Yeah, I'm going to get that, I think. So here's the thing. The way this was announced, they put it on their Mac forum, which no one goes to.
Right.
I visited it when I first tried to figure out how to get the game on Mac. Right away, it's a very, very notorious place where, like, the devs just never went in that forum. Like, you'd ask questions, they never answer them. So, like, no one ever goes there.
Right.
That's the only place they announce this. Like I said, they announced this on Friday. I didn't find out till Sunday, when this finally hit all the blogs and everything.
Right.
They didn't email everybody. They didn't, like, put it in, like, the launcher. Like,
right.
You know, like, they should have made this a little more apparent, I feel.
Wow.
And then they're saying, like, the way you're going to get either your refund or your free gift or whatever is via email. Well, those emails haven't been sent. People don't even know if they're technically considered a Mac user or not. Like, they're just... And then, like, you go into the thread for this. At first, they were, like, kind of fielding questions, and then they just dropped off of it.
Well, that's nice.
It's very shitty.
That's weird.
They said they're going to get a Mac version out eventually, because I think it was running through, like, an emulation, basically. It wasn't, like, a truly Mac-native client.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, maybe you should get the new one ready before you shut down the old one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
a lot of people think this has to do with Dominion coming out. Like, it wasn't going to work.
Oh, that's a good point.
But even still, like, if that's the case, I mean, just don't let, like, Mac players play the Dominion.
Not like Vol was, like, pushing the graphical engine of whatever.
No, like, I don't understand why this is such an ordeal.
Well, it sucks for you. You're going to have to get that Windows.
Yeah, look, I know. I was trying to keep Windows off my Mac now, and I'm literally going to boot camp my Mac so I could freaking play this game.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well.
Anyway, let's move on. Peter Moore.
You know what? You could just you can install it on my laptop and play it on there, maybe.
Your laptop's not that... It doesn't have a graphics card, does it?
Maybe not.
I can do it. It'll be fine. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Peter Moore, EA. He has admitted that it will take a few years before their basketball game can compete with NBA 2K. Like, by the 14 or 15 year.
Like, are they going to keep making them and not releasing them until then? Is that what that means? Like, okay, guys, let's get some practice in. What does that mean exactly?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess they'll release them, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have said that out loud.
I don't understand why it couldn't take just a year. Yeah, make some better decisions.
Make a good game. I don't know. I mean, NBA 2, before 2K11, people didn't really seem to care about that game.
Does he mean because of brand acknowledgement? Maybe?
No, I think he means like till they get it right.
Should try harder.
Yeah.
I guess.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. I mean, this year, I guess, is kind of a wash, but.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't even have one for this year, do they?
I don't know if Elite's coming out this year or not. It's been kind of a crapshoot. Technically, 11 exists. People have it.
Well, yeah, it was, like, finished.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Very strange saga. See that one coming. Let's see. We got confirmation of some Deus Ex DLC called The Missing Link coming October.
Oh, goody. You know, I feel about these DLCs.
Yeah, it fills in some gap in the story, I guess, it occurs I haven't gotten to yet.
I'm pretty far. I have not experienced much of a gap yet. Maybe it's coming.
Yeah, I don't know.
That one Assassin's Creed DLC, too. That wasn't very good.
I liked it.
Shut up. Next.
Let's see. They announced that the HD versions of Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker on PSN and XBLA will have online co-op. Might actually try that now.
I guess. I mean, it's very sort of a weird offshoot of...
like Monster Hunter?
Yeah. I mean, I'll try it.
Yeah.
I could definitely not try it before since it was a PSP game in America.
And the only way to do it online in America was that through that, like, party play thing where you have to Wi-Fi it to a wire-connected PS3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, not so much.
Unless you have the Wi-Fi-less PSP that's coming out in Europe. You see, they said they're targeting teens with this.
I could just see all the high schools with all those
I know 7-year-olds who use iPod Touches to get online.
Yeah, that's a good point. What does that even mean?
Those teens don't need Wi-Fi. Yes, they probably use it more than anybody.
Yeah, wow, that's a really bad decision. The thing is,
aside from the lack of Wi-Fi, I like that unit. It's got like a nice kind of matte finish to it. It's thinner. I can't imagine Wi-Fi is like, oh, now we can get it cheaper. A Wi-Fi chip has to cost, at the manufacturing level, like $5-$10.
Who knows?
For a basic Wi-Fi chip.
I don't care what they would have put in it. It wouldn't have sold.
Yeah.
So, you know, have fun with that.
Good luck. My final story. They've announced Dragon Quest X.
Dragon Quest X Online.
This is so weird.
This
makes no sense.
This is literally a lol what now moment.
So they've announced it for Wii and Wii U.
Well, they really did not emphasize the Wii U-iness.
I wouldn't even bother with the Wii version.
But that's the one that's happening, for sure. Probably years before this Wii U version actually happens.
But then...
I think this Wii U version will be like the 360 version of Final Fantasy XI.
It gets better. Online connection permanent required. I mean, it's an MMO. Who the fuck makes an MMO for the Wii?
I'm baffled. This was the strangest thing when I saw this happening.
And there's going to be a monthly fee. Yeah, good luck releasing that in America. Maybe, I mean, Monster Hunter had a monthly fee in Japan, didn't in America, because I think they realized that was a losing battle. Maybe the same will happen here.
Oh, it's got to.
But, you know...
It's got to. No one's going to pay a monthly fee to play.
But, you know, turning your flagship RPG series to an MMO has worked well for that company in the past, so...
Yeah, what is the motivation? Why is this? Why are they so intent on making MMOs?
I don't know.
You're not good at it.
No, they're not. They should just give up.
They don't sell that well.
Look,
just stop doing that.
Do you realize...
I'll kill them if they make a Kingdom Hearts MMO. I will go down there and murder them.
God.
If they make a Kingdom Hearts MMO, I will destroy them.
Can I remind you that Final Fantasy XIV is a thing that exists right now? Like, you could go buy it. It's on shelves.
I forgot about that.
But the PS3 version, no word on that, was supposed to have been out 9 months ago.
Is it still free?
Or PS3 version. I think so.
Okay, that's one thing. You're going to make an... MMO for the newest top-of-the-line systems for PC. For the Wii?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
At least, if you're going to make it for Wii U anyway, at least put it out on everything. 360, PS3, Wii U.
How's that going to work? Won't you need to install something or download patches?
Yeah. It's an MMO. It needs hard drive storage. I don't care what you say.
Like, when they say MMO, do they really mean it's going to be more like Phantasy Star and Monster Hunter?
No, you have to be online all the time. They said except for the first few couple hours, it cannot be played offline.
I do not understand. What? I do not get it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense.
It completely baffles me.
Just make a Dragon Quest game.
Yeah.
Not that hard.
They do pretty well.
Get level 5, they're around. Make a game.
I don't understand it.
This won't work well here. Maybe in Japan, but wait, do they even like MMOs in Japan?
I mean, Final Fantasy XI did okay. 14, not so much.
Right.
I mean, Korea's a big MMO market, China is, but those are free to play.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do a console MMO with a monthly subscription fee on the Wii anywhere.
I mean, even just ignore the fact that it's on the Wii. It sounds like a bad idea.
Right.
On the Wii, I just can't comprehend.
Yeah.
I don't...
Like maybe on the Wii U? Maybe on the Wii U it'll work?
But like you said, we don't even know about the Wii U.
Yeah, like you said, it's probably going to end up being a Final Fantasy XI situation, which is kind of like an up-res sort of version of the Wii version. They should just scrap the Wii port, focus it on the three current gen. Maybe the Xbox won't work because of Microsoft, so make it PS3 and Wii U.
I mean, I'm sorry, the Wii's dead after Zelda comes out.
Right.
It's a dead system.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Yeah.
What about an MMO? What?
Yeah.
They can barely get an MMO to work on the 360.
I know.
And its whole thing is its online service.
Yeah.
The Wii has friend codes. Are you going to exchange friend codes? I don't understand. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Can you even do an MMO without HD? A lot of text. It has to be kind of small.
And, well, either you have to get, like, a keyboard hooked up to the USB port on the back of the Wii.
The Wii has a USB port?
Yeah, there's two of them back there.
That's funny. What were they ever used for?
I think the Wii Speak used it. And also, the hackers used it to hook up hard drives so they can copy games off of it.
Yeah, maybe the Wii, maybe it's going to ship with the Wii hard drive. Like, it'll have to.
Yeah.
The Wii hard drive is going to come in 2012.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, aside from a keyboard or a Wii Speak, how are you going to communicate?
Well, here's the other thing. This is a recently announced game by Square Enix. Logic would say this game is coming out in 4 years.
Now, they announced it a while ago.
Well, they kind of announced it. I remember Dragon Quest IX, they kind of announced it. Then it went radio silent for a long time.
Yeah, because I was actually reading through the Brawl in the Family archives, and he was talking about it in an older one.
Oh. This is just a bad idea.
I don't get it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
Have fun with that. That's going to end poorly. I mean, first you're going to have to make a good MMO. That is a difficult thing.
Yep.
They're in trouble. Bad idea.
Hosed.
Who is like, all right, guys, meeting. Dragon Quest X. MMO, wait for it. For the Wii.
Brilliant.
Green light. Here's $1 billion. Square Enix is going to go under. They've been making some of the worst decisions
ever.
The only good thing they've done recently was buy Eidos.
Yeah. Like, that's literally keeping them afloat. Batman and
Deus Ex. But, like, they have these ridiculously long development hells. I mean, Final Fantasy vs. 13 is a joke.
Yeah, that's not going to be a TGS, they said. How? How?
That game was, like, wasn't that game announced before the PS3 came out?
Yeah.
That's just... And in the meantime, you're not making games that could make money, like a Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right.
Or a Final Fantasy that people liked. Or a real Dragon Quest. Like, maybe you can make some money off of Dragon Quest if you make the Dragon Quest X for the PS3. Good luck selling Dragon Quest X for the Wii as an MMO.
Yeah.
Have fun.
It's ridiculous.
Don't tell me that the Wii is this, oh, it's a huge install base, so it's a great... Yeah, no. People are not going to be playing their Wiis after Zelda comes out.
No.
It's a dead system.
Yes.
It's not like a PS2 where you could release Persona 4 after the 360 pieces were out. No one's going to care about the Wii.
Right.
Man.
It's a joke.
So, first, let's go topical. Dragon Quest X will be a hit, still.
Fuck no.
I mean, 9 had an uphill battle here. I think it sold okay.
Yeah, but that was, again, it's on the DS. Everyone has a DS, so everyone will buy this game.
At, like, the height of its, like, right before it was kind of done.
Right.
And it still didn't do great.
Yeah.
I played it. It was pretty good. The thing that annoyed me about 9 and a lot of people is your character is silent and he's you or whatever and he doesn't talk. Also, though, your like other party members, you would just go to an inn and pick them up and they also never spoke and weren't even involved in the story or cutscenes at all.
Yeah, so there's just no development to anything.
I assume this will happen again in Dragon Quest X. It's just a bunch of, you know, people playing characters. I guess they'll try to add their own personalities to it. So you'll be playing with.
Let's face
people.
It, the Dragon Quest series has never been as big in America as it has been in Japan.
Well, sure,
but like,
I think that annoyed even Dragon Quest fans. The lack of characters,
right? I mean, that's always been the appeal of it, right? The story.
I assume that's why people like RPGs, right?
Yeah, that's why I play them.
But I can't. Yeah, there's like this can't do well in America. How can you greenlight a game if you work in Japan that you know will not do well in America?
Like I said, I mean, I don't want to downplay the significance of the Japanese market because I'm you know, it's a whole country of its own. It's where kind of
but
a lot of this industry started.
Downplayed.
But saying you have to win Japan is like saying we have to get all the gamers in California.
You don't have to win Japan. Microsoft did not win Japan. They're doing fine.
Yeah, that's my point.
They just lost in Japan. They said, oh, well.
Exactly. Like I said, I mean, as far as like gamers per capita, that's like saying, oh, no, people in California didn't buy this game, but the other 49 states are fine. Like,
and I'm saying this other thing, too, where Japanese developers are almost becoming defeatist about America. Like, oh, we can't do as well in America anymore. We'll just try to appeal to Japanese market a lot. Like, I wonder if they're, like how much more segregated these markets are going to get. Because there was a time when they were pretty similar.
Well, you know where I see it going. I mean, think about it. Most of the mainstream entertainment consumed in this country is produced in this country. Every so often, you'll get something that comes from a foreign market that's far and few between.
Right, like the days where this stuff was mostly
Japanese. It's done.
It is. It's weird in a way. Because, I mean, I just remember where games were made in Japan. That's where they came from.
Well, like a lot of people have been going on about like Shadows of the Dam. Like, they thought this would be the Suda 51 game to work because he just used the Unreal 3 engine. It was a shooter, but it was still weird. Well, I guess it's still weird that people don't really go for that stuff.
No.
I mean, if they did, then we'd all be watching anime all the time.
I think this stuff worked better in that sort of Super Nintendo, PlayStation 1 era, where
everything was
maybe some
kind
of the
obscure.
Cultural weirdness was obscured by the fact that, you know, you couldn't go all the way out there.
Yeah.
There's still pixels, people talked, and, you know, whatever. You know, now we're literally getting anime faces screaming at us.
Right.
In a weird sort of way. And there'll be a market for that in America.
Of course, just like there's just a market like for things like anime import film and things like that. But it's not going to be mainstream.
Right. You know, we can import their culture to an extent because it's America. They will not import our culture.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's not a two-way street. It really
right.
isn't.
They are very proud of their gaming market. That's why, I mean, they almost will not let Microsoft succeed there with the Xbox out of pride.
Yeah.
It's almost like how we would go on about, oh, buy homemade cars because it's good. I'm sure I think they have the same kind of mentality about games. Like, no, this is our market. Fuck you guys and your Grand Theft Autos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, will it be a hit in Japan, Dragon Quest, then?
I guess. I mean, Final Fantasy did okay. But I think even they're kind of done with the Wii.
But, I mean, I remember when Dragon Quest 9 came out, you know, people were skipping school. There's giant lines. It's a big deal there.
But again, that's the other thing, too. That game had a ton of kid appeal.
Right.
Is a kid going to be able to get this game on the Wii with a monthly subscription fee on a constant internet connection?
Here's
the funny
thing, and it's kind of telling about Japan. When they announced this game, well, they had the reveal yesterday, they had to make a big point of nobody wants to hurt you online. They just want to be your friends. They are very paranoid about that in Japan. They have a big security issue. And that's why MMOs kind of aren't that big a thing there. They're very paranoid. Maybe too many anime about people stealing their identities, but
hacking the system.
Right. I mean, too much dot hack, you know? What a weird decision.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could read some Japanese just to go to some of their message boards, see what they're thinking of this.
Yeah.
I imagine it would be, like, imagine if, I was about to say, what's your favorite, series right now?
Series of what?
Like video games. What's a big
video game series?
Like, imagine if they said,
like Uncharted.
Yeah, but imagine if they said the next Uncharted and MMO. Have fun with that. I would not want that.
Hell no.
Go.
It's a narrative based experience, yeah, much like
die.
The Dragon Quest games.
Just go to jail. Oh, okay. Next, you will buy Resistance 3.
No. I'm sorry. There are too many other games coming out this fall, many of which are also first person shooters that I'm far more interested in. I kind of played Resistance 1. I didn't touch Resistance 2.
Well, we played Resistance 1 because it was the launch title.
So I'm saying, like, I don't have any real investment in that universe. Like, I'm not, like, dying to see the end of the story or anything.
Resistance makes no sense to me.
I mean, it's getting decent reviews. Like, 80s,
but they
like
always
high
do.
80s.
Getting high 80s or low 90s. But, and, like, reviewers talk well of it. But I swear to God, I do not know a single person who likes Resistance. Or not likes Resistance, but buys it.
Yeah.
Somebody must. They're on 3.
Yeah.
But there's been no excitement about it, no buzz.
No.
I mean, like I said, it's a thing where, like, the only people talking right now are, like, the game reviewers who have been sent a copy. They're like, oh, it's great. It's the best shooter on the PS3. Oh, it's It's fucking Resistance. I don't get it. It's, and I played it at E3. And maybe I'm crazy. The game looked like shit. It looked like a last-gen shooter. And it played like one. I think that's the appeal to some people.
You know the worst thing that they could have done in, for me, personally? What? The first thing they showed that game was a level where you're on a boat slowly going down a river as waves of enemies come at you. Boring.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I hate that. Right. I hate stages like that in any game. And that was like their showcase. Like, we're going to show you what we think is the best part of this game. Here it is. You're on a fucking boat trickling down a river. No, I don't want to do that. Sorry, Don.
But I mean, it plays like Time Splitters, another series I never got, I guess. Where it's just like, it's like this very old school, like, it feels like I'm playing Doom.
Yeah.
In a weird way. It's like, if this is like, if Half-Life never came out, this is what shooters would be like still. Which is weird, since everybody thought it would be a Half-Life knockoff. It's not. Yeah, I do not get Resistance. I guess someone's gonna buy it. I guess there'll probably be a Resistance 4 someday.
Not made by Insomniac, though, from what they've been saying.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I wish Insomniac would just spend their time doing something more useful than this in that weird Ratchet and Clank 4-player co-op game. I don't think anyone cares about either.
Yeah.
We're going to order a 4-player co-op game. Like, I'm not going to find 3 people to play Ratchet and Clank with. Are you kidding me?
That's true.
Next, you will buy Star Fox 64 3D on day one.
Fuck yeah. I love that game.
That's pretty fun.
We'll I'm a sucker for it.
Pretty fun we'll get that, but not Resistance 3.
Yeah. I freaking love Star Fox 64. That was one of my, that was my favorite Nintendo 64.
Oh yeah, it was classic.
And I'm stoked to play it again.
You know, games where you fly look pretty good in 3D too.
Yes, that's very true. But yeah, I'm excited. I'll be there.
I guess I will be too. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to say about it. Is there anything extra here?
They changed the multiplayer mode.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't have the original one, but the new one it has in it. It's new stages. And they have a kind of cool thing where it's using the 3DS's front-facing camera to always just, it's not video, but it's just very quick series of pictures that are always over your ships. So you can always kind of see the reaction of people.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Plus, that's a game you can replay a lot of all those branching paths and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Okay, playing the 3DS, NES Ambassador games just remind you how much those games have aged.
Yeah. I didn't play one for more than 2 minutes.
I kind of had the same thing where it was kind of like a neat, it was almost like going to a museum.
Yeah, and you're like, okay.
Like some, like, Super Mario Brothers, that still aged pretty well. Still basically plays like a Mario game.
Right.
When you play, like, Zelda, it's like, this is clearly just a really old Zelda game.
Yeah.
I was just playing Link to the Past, or Link's Awakening, even. And, like, a lot of the other ones are just, like, they're arcade games, basically.
Right, like Ice Climbers, Balloon Fight.
I could play that for a little bit. I could play a little Donkey Kong Jr.
Mm-hmm. Here's a problem, too. Just playing them on a 3DS, you realize this now? Because the D-pad is so low on that system compared to where the face buttons are, really uncomfortable to hold it if you want to use the D-pad.
Mm-hmm. Like, the one game on there I'm playing a bit, just because I never really played it before, is Zelda 2.
Yeah, I played it on the virtual console on the Wii.
A weird game.
It is a very strange game.
I still don't quite understand what I'm supposed to do right now.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Right. But, yeah, they're just, it's just from a different era, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're so fun. I'm so glad I got them.
Yeah, thanks, I mean, the hell, they're free. But here's the question, though. I mean, this was supposed to be part of what makes up for this $80 deficit in your spending. I mean, would you have bought these otherwise?
I might have bought them all together for $10.
Right.
You said, here's this $10, like, retrospective thing. I would buy them. I would not buy each of them for $5.
Which is what they, like, would charge.
Right. Yeah, hell with that.
I mean, technically, according to Nintendo standards, we just got $50 worth of content. This ain't $50 worth of content.
No. I mean, the Game Boy Advance games will be significantly more playable.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it.
You know, like, I'll play through those. Like, yeah, Yoshi's Island. I will play all of this.
When are we supposed to get those? They didn't even say it, did they?
I think by the end of the year. Yeah, probably, like, December.
Yeah, it's real hard to publish those Game Boy ROMs.
Oh, you know. Okay. Last one. Ni no Kuni. You know what Ni no Kuni is?
No.
This would be the Studio Ghibli Level 5 RPG.
Oh, the thing with the little dude with the lantern.
Yeah, and they made the... They made the DS version.
Right.
Never came out here.
Right.
The PS3 version now is ramping up, and it looks beautiful.
Yes.
Will it ever be released here?
Hmm.
Yeah, change the name.
Well, obviously.
I don't know. I mean, Studio Ghibli does have a little bit of cachet here, in a large part thanks to John Lasseter, really.
Well, you know.
I mean, they're good films.
Right. They're amazing films.
It could get by in its looks alone, because it does look that good.
Right, it looks gorgeous.
You know, if you really push that end of it and make a really good translation. I mean, get like, who are the guys?
Like the Mario and Luigi guys?
No, them or,
Final Fantasy 12 guys?
No, it's the guys, a lot of them
guys are pretty good.
They used to be writers for 1UP. What's their studio called? Something 8, Level 8 or something like that. Like Mark McDonald and Joe Rubicki, those guys.
Okay. What have they done?
Stuff. I can't think of anything particular. I know every time I've heard a game they translate, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It was a good translation. Like, get them on it. You'd have to market it right. You'd have to treat it right. And you can't do... I mean, isn't it going to be, like, unusually expensive in Japan?
Is it?
Yeah, like, it's going to be, like, the equivalent of, like, $90 or something.
Well, you can't do that here.
No, it's got to come out, like, $40, frankly.
Well, you can release it for $60.
Yeah,
so,
you probably... If you, again,
here's the soundtrack.
You have to gauge the buzz.
But,
yeah,
I mean, that's how they always do RPGs here, is, like, they just give you extra stuff.
Right.
I hope it comes out here, because it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, literally, that's a game I want just for the way it looks.
Right. Looks gorgeous. I think... I wonder if Studio Ghibli's involved, not just in, like, the art direction, but in the story. Then hell yes,
that'd
I
be
want
good,
that.
Yeah.
Plus, it's level 5. They've made some pretty quality stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they did Dragon Quest IX. They did, that,
Dark Cloud.
I always wanted to play that one, Rogue Galaxy. Like, one of the last PS2 games.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like Dark Cloud in space.
Right. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But I feel like there would be a mark. I wonder if it's going to be kind of a project, Rainfall. Is that what that thing's called?
To get the games here.
Right. Where it's going to be another thing where, we're seeing this now. People just don't want to release JRPGs here anymore.
Right. And at least the PS3 is region free. I mean, translation will be an issue, obviously. But, I mean, even let's say it does somehow even come out in Europe, you can get it in English.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing about Project Rainfall is that those games have been translated and they won't release them here.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see the DS game still pick up a publisher for over here. I would really like to play that. I don't know if it's like supposed to be the same game or I think the DS is a precursor.
I'm not sure.
I have no idea. But this PS3 game looks gorgeous, and I want to play it. We need a community question. I want it to be Dragon Quest X themed. Should we just say, what do you think about Dragon Quest X?
Yeah, like...
What do you think?
What do you think, huh?
Like, how's this going to do?
Penny for your thoughts.
Yeah, let me know about this. Let's talk about the community question.
Community question that Mark asked but didn't answer.
Yeah.
Way to go, Mark.
Well, Mark asked... You know, he said that we should ask for people's opinions on boss fights in 2011. This was stemming from Deus Ex, which has been getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about in a minute.
And a funny Penny Arcade comic. A
really good Penny Arcade. Probably one of their best in a while.
Yeah. Like Professor Oak said, there's a time and place for everything.
This is Drew Robbins, by the way.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to introduce him. Thank you. Shoehorning them into something like Deus Ex is a no-go, but they have their place in a more, for lack of a better word, gamey games. When it comes to interactive storytelling, though, they just muck up the flow and have no place in logic.
On the whole, I agree, but you can still make them work. I mean, look at Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, see, I'm still okay with boss fights. I am.
You
I think you could have done it.
You can't treat a boss fight the way you treated a boss fight in the 90s.
Well,
and that's what this game does.
Right, it's like, here's the part where you...
Like, I mean, this guy may as well start flashing as he got low on health.
Right, it was ridiculous. And, like, when you say Metal Gear Solid 3, think about the end. The different ways you could fight him. You could
that was a great encounter.
You could sniper duel him with normal bullets or Trunks. You can sneak behind him. You can, like, listen for his bird to try to find him. You can look for the glare. This is Metal Gear Solid 3 in, like, what, 2003?
Yeah.
That came out? And that game was... And, like, that game was never like, oh, choices, choices, choices.
Right.
This, you know, if your game is like, oh, you have all these choices, then you throw me to a boss fight where... Like, I'm worried I'm going to get to a generic final boss fight in this game where I just have to shoot somebody until they're dead. Well, yeah, I'm not shocked. But it's just, like I said, I'm not so much objecting to them. You can do them still.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, they have to make sense. They have to be, you can't just do what is quote-unquote a boss fight. It has to kind of sing harmoniously with the rest of the gameplay in your game. It's just got to be like...
Let's get to Matt's response here. Kind of like what he says.
What, Matt?
Jaguar.
Thank you, Jaguar. I don't mind them even when they don't make much sense or have any purpose. In some games, it feels just right. Can you imagine Mario not fighting Bowser? But when they're just added in to pad the difficulty over length of the game, it fails to impress me. Compare Halo to Halo 2. Did the boss fights in Halo 2 add anything to the experience compared with the last level's race against the dock in the first game? Not really.
Clock, but...
Oh, what is...
You said dock.
Well, it's the CL.
I understand it.
It makes more sense.
I mean, you look at Halo 1 ends with that incredible warthog ride over the surface of the exploding ship. And it fit in with the game's mechanics. It was exciting. It totally worked. The boss fight at the end of Halo 2, which I didn't even realize was the final boss because I thought there was going to be another level, was awful. It was just a normal enemy who was a damage sponge. He just had more HP than everybody else. And that was it.
You know who I really liked the way they tackled boss fights was Uncharted. Specifically Uncharted 1.
Well, yeah,
Uncharted 1 got criticized to hell for its bad boss fight, which annoyed me.
That was one of my favorite boss fights ever.
Because it wasn't a generic bullet sponge boss fight. What it was it was simply the hardest cover shooting aspect of the game, which it should have been because that's what the game was. So here's the hardest part. You have to fight through his minions, and your cover is breakable boxes.
Yeah, and
so now it's hard because now you can't just hide back there forever. Then you get to the guy, and what they should have done.
The one thing they maybe could have done that would have shut people up, honestly, is they turn into a QTE. But those QTE buttons were the same fighting combos I've been doing all game. They should just let you knock them out.
Right. I mean, that was.
But then you look at the end of Uncharted 2. It was a damage spun boss fight. It's a guy who's just big and he walks at
and
you
and
shoots.
And it wasn't as good.
It sucked.
And it wasn't as good.
It was a very low point in an excellent game.
I mean, I think the thing that helped was that I'm glad it wasn't the last thing it did. I'm glad there still was the escape from the Tree of Life and all that.
Right.
And it still kind of worked in a way. At least, you know, it was just kind of... But I mean, you know, he grew big, glowy things. And what annoyed me about that was that they did that because people complained about the boss fight in Char 1. Everybody was wrong that
time. They should stick to their guns. Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Everybody was wrong, so they can all shut up.
Let me get into this now. I was going to save it for what we've been playing, which I guess we could kind of transition.
Wait, we're kind of there now, yeah.
But, you know, I finally got to the first boss fight in Deus Ex this past week. I was so disappointed. Oh, my God. I mean, and I've been playing the game as a run and gunner.
Right.
Okay? So, like, I heard all the complaints. I was like, well, this should be fine for me because this is kind of how I'm playing the game, so whatever. So, cutscene, boss fight starts up. All right, I grab some cover and start shooting this guy. He just starts walking at me and walking at me. And walk again. So he's right in front of me, and I can't move anywhere, because as soon as I get out, he's going to shoot me. Like, there's no tactics here, of any kind.
Right.
Not even, like, stealthy or any of that. There's just zero tactics. There's no, the AI is walk at you and shoot.
Like, even if you, put a computer terminal in there that can release toxic gas with or something, I don't know.
Something. There had to be solutions to this. It's like, they didn't even try. It's like, well... We've got these four characters who are, like, kind of big bad guys. I guess we should fight them, maybe. Just put them in there and have you shoot. I couldn't imagine if like, in the Penny Arcade, if you made a guy who's, like, all hacking and stealth.
That's what I am. And it made no sense. I literally filled this guy with tranquilizer darts and then got a cutscene where he was bloody and dying.
Yeah.
What? How can the people... Because I am loving this game. I think it's brilliant. How could the people who have made this game made such a poor decision?
I know. It makes no sense. It's pretty bad.
It's just so weird.
It's really bad, actually.
I love the game besides that.
I know. It's, like, disappointing. It's like you know, you have, like, a good kid, and he goes out one night and gets drunk, and the police pick him up, and you're just so disappointed.
I mean, it's like, I don't want to harp around too much, because they're not that numerous.
Four of them?
Is there four? Yeah. So it's not, you know, it sucks when you're there, and you're doing it. You have to get by it. But I don't think it hampers the experience. By any means,
it's just so out of character.
It just doesn't make any
sense. It feels like they're like, oh, let's hire some other guys to do the boss fight, and like these guys took the money and went to Vegas, and then like came back a day before. He was like, shit, we better do something.
Yeah, we had these character models. All of them
walk at you and shoot.
I mean, I hope they do like a post mortem thing where they explain this.
Yeah, like I'd really like to know like what was the thinking there.
Right. But I don't know. Deus Ex. Besides that,
oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, otherwise, I'm having a great time with it. It's funny, though, how it goes back and forth between these relatively big, open environments with a lot of cool side quests and everything, and then you're dropped into a first-person shooter level. And it kind of, like, goes back and forth.
I mean, I don't mind that.
I don't mind it. It's just weird. That's all.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of... See, when I played the game at E3, I didn't realize there would be those hub worlds. I thought the hub worlds would just be to get you to those kind of levels.
Yeah, that's
kind
of how it was in the first Deus Ex.
Right, but I do like it better when it's like these hub world things and you're just
infiltrating. Yeah, like I'm in Shanghai right now. And I'm having a blast.
That was my favorite part.
Especially because I got like all the jumping abilities and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's one thing that really sucks I found because I got that like long fall thing.
Yeah.
What blows is if you're trying to make a long jump, in my mind, I feel like I should be able to make it, but I'll start to fall and that animation kicks in and it just drops you straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten killed a number of times because of that. But then I got into a sweet situation where you're trying to escape that pod hotel or whatever it is in Shanghai.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'm sneaking past a dude, because I didn't want to start an open gunfight yet because there's a ton of them. So I get around, and below me is the door. I need to go out. There's three guys there. So I just dumped down, did that slam thing, took out all three of them, got out. It was awesome. That's like, stuff like that is so fun in the game.
Yeah, there are cool moments where, like, you kind of use all your tools to get through, yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Like, I actually did have a moment in the game where, for reasons I won't go into, I had to fight a large group of people. And it wasn't I had to, but I wanted to. Which is, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
If you motivate me to say, I haven't killed a single person in this game, I'm going to take out my pistol and shoot people in the head now.
Oh, you lost the achievement.
What?
You lost the achievement.
That's okay. I got another achievement for doing it. That's okay. Yeah. That sucks, though. But well, I still killed somebody.
The bosses don't count towards the achievement.
Are you sure there's an achievement?
Yeah, there's an achievement for not killing anybody in the game, except for the bosses.
Now I'm pissed. Damn it. I knew there would be two. But, like, there was a situation where I could not just stealthily knock people out. Yeah, but damn it. Oh, man. Mm. Oh, well. See, because now if I want an achievement, I have to go back and play the game.
Well,
but
do you have a save file back there?
Maybe. I kind of been doing the same save file for this one.
It's Bad News Bears in any RPG.
You're a Bad News Bear. Was the game too. But yeah, whatever. Okay. Anything else to say about Deus Ex?
Nah, I think that handles
it. Yeah, that does it. You been playing anything else?
Yeah. Crimson Steam Pirates.
Oh. Did you say Crimson Skies guys made this?
Yeah,
this
is a it's an iPad game published by Bungie Aerospace, which like they've started like publishing indie games and their newfound freedom. Yeah, it's the same guy, his new studio. This is the guy who did Crimson Skies, Mech Assault, Shadowrun, it's FAFSA. And, oh my god, so there's a game on Android called Steam Birds, and the gameplay kind of apes that a bit, where it's like turn-based naval warfare. If you ever played Flight Control on the iPad or iPhone, you know how you like trace routes for the planes to follow?
Okay.
So you kind of trace out little routes that go to their movement max for all your ships and everything. Lay everything out, you try to anticipate where your enemy's going to go, and you push the turn button. Everything moves so far, and then time stops again. So you're constantly trying to maneuver everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's, like, the gameplay conceit of it. You can, like, board enemy ships to take them. Everyone has, like ships have certain abilities, like speed up, increased cannon range, repair, things like that. You apparently get zeppelins and submarines eventually, so it kind of takes place on three layers.
Right.
And then the aesthetic of the game, it basically feels like a prequel to Crimson Skies. It has that same kind of dashing, daring-do aesthetic. They have the actual, like, vintage-looking photographs of all, like, of actors playing the characters in very similar dress to the Crimson Skies. Cool. The music is kind of similar. Like, it totally gets that flavor, which I love, because Crimson Skies is one of my all-time favorite games.
Cool, cool.
So, and it's free to play. It's, like, the first episode's free, and if you want the other two episodes, I think they're each $2.
Alrighty.
If you have an iPad, you should get this.
Anything else?
Real quick, I guess we should talk about it. So our brother Chris is moving into a new apartment, and he got a new TV, and it is 3D.
Yeah, so we got to play some Mortal Kombat.
In 3D.
It was fun.
It's really cool. Except that they programmed it wrong in the fatalities.
Like the black.
The black background is in the foreground for some reason of the 3D space. And it's like the only time it does that. It's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It was off-putting.
Yes, but it's awesome.
All right, you ready for the releases?
Yeah, sure. You didn't play anything else?
No, I didn't really. I'm trying to think. No.
Okay, fair enough.
Just been playing Deus Ex. All right, Dead Island came out.
Did you hear what happened with the PC version?
What?
Apparently on Steam, they accidentally released an unfinished build that has like all these weird glitches and bugs and developer cheats unlocked, and there's Xbox 360 code in it that's causing it to crash.
Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops-a-daisy.
I guess some people care about this.
I can't bring myself to give two shits about it. Between the fact that it's another online co-op zombie game and it has nothing to do with that awesome trailer, it's like two strikes, you're out.
Driver, San Francisco, PS3, 360.
I played the demo for this. I never talked about it, did I? Let me do that real quick.
Real quick.
It's weird. The game's kind of storytelling aesthetic is actually kind of neat. It feels like a cheesy 70s cop chase movie, but set in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
Like even your partner in the car is a black guy with an afro.
Sure.
So the conceit of the game is your character had this near-death experience, and ever since he can what's called shift into other people. So you can shift into another car and take control of it. Somehow, he's still driving his actual car that he's in at the same time.
I know, dude, there's a paranormal aspect to this
game. Yeah, it's very strange. So, there's that, which is kind of neat. There's one level in the demo where... maybe it's better explained in the game. I didn't know exactly who I was in this level, but there's a father-daughter race team. They're in this race. They have to place first and second. So you're constantly jumping back and forth between the two cars to try to keep both of them at the front of the race.
Interesting.
Which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then the last level of the demo, you're trying to infiltrate this crime ring. And the guy who's the leader of it is the guy who almost killed you.
Of course.
So you shift into the body of some entry-level guy in the crime ring so that you can work your way up. Why don't you just shift into the leader?
Well, you know.
He's right there. I don't know, it just seems like a simpler solution to me.
Those Jedi mind tricks only work on the weak-minded.
What about, his second in command?
I don't know.
That's pretty good, too.
I don't know.
It's a neat mechanic, it's kind of fun. I don't see it doing too well. I mean, racing games have kind of been on the lately. You look at what happened with Split Second and Blur and everything. I don't know.
Warhammer 40,000.
Space Marine.
360 PS3 PC. There seems to be some excitement for this. Huh?
I liked it.
I didn't play the demo.
You should try it. It's pretty cool. I think you'd like it.
Resistance 3, PS3, Disgaea 4, A Promise Unforgotten.
They're still making these?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Rise of Nightmares, Kinect.
Wait a minute. Isn't this the game that actually tries to play a first-person action-adventure game using only the Kinect?
Yeah, I saw a commercial for it, actually.
Come on, try it.
Rock of Ages. For PC, I think. Maybe not. Star Fox 64 3D.
Yeah.
Pretty good week.
That comes out Friday, huh? Because usually they do Sundays. Oh, that's right. Sunday is September 11th.
Air Conflicts, Secret Wars. Yeah, I don't want to have a game with ships.
Yeah.
Crimson Alliance. Arcade. Driver Service is also coming out for the Wii, apparently. Blood Rain Betrayal.
It's going to be fun.
Rugby World Cup 2011. Blah, blah, blah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. See you next week. I guess I don't really need to say that. I guess it's soon. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can also find us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and on Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel.
Just say everything. iTunes, Music Store, Zune Marketplace.
Go to Facebook and...
hey, look, it's our mom. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, guys.
All right. Don't
forget to answer the Facebook question, what do you think about Dragon Quest X? See you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.